May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. I have here a painting which is precious to me. I was talking with Ian the other day about the artist Shane Records, who has the shop just at the top of the old High Street. And this painting that he did at Dover Castle, and I was the rector of the Dover Town Benefice. Oh, hang on a minute. Quiet, mustn't even that. It was given to me as my leaving gift when I left the Dover Town Benefice to come here. And so it's lovely for me because it connects the two ministries, a gift from Dover but an artist here, right here, in the heart of those. I love Dover Castle. I'm a member of English Heritage, and you can, just by going there like two or three times a year, you've paid for your year's subscription. And there's not many parts of Dover Castle that I haven't got into that are public. And there are some really, really helpful people, guides, to Dover Castle that you can ask questions about. And we have an next one here, don't we? Yes. They are guides for tourists who are visitors to Dover Castle. But a few years back, I was invited by the deputy constable of Dover Castle to go to lunch one day. And that was a completely different experience. It's driving in, they already had my car's registration number saluted as I went through, and parked by the deputy constable's house. We call it a house, it's like a mansion really. Not a part that you can get into as a tourist. And I was invited in, and there were other guests there, and it was very, very much at home, even though he doesn't spend all his time there anymore. Used to, but doesn't anymore. Nevertheless, it was very much at home. Young brigadier he was, and he had two children, I think one about 10 and one about 13, and they were there. The interesting thing was, we were admitted and formally kind of brought in by the elder of the two children, which was lovely. But later on, they were out playing. And unlike us, they could come in and out whenever they wanted to. It was their home. Now listen, John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Do you know the terms Old Testament and New Testament, the different bits of the Bible? Well, more properly, it's called the Old Covenant and New Covenant. And covenant means agreement, as you'll know. And it's the agreement that God has with his people as to how and why and under what condition they will be acceptable to him. And under the Old Covenant, it was all about the law. God gave his commands, and if you obeyed his commands and were faithful to them, then you were acceptable to him. The problem is that, as St. Paul points out, nobody ever has ever been able to keep all of God's commands. I remember hearing once a preacher who asked everybody in the congregation to stand up. I will not do this to you. And then he read the Ten Commandments and said, if you've ever broken one of these commandments, when you get to the commandment you've broken, sit down. Bit scary for the congregation. And when you got to the tenth commandment, the one about coveting, there was one man still standing up. And he said, sir, I can see that you have led a holy and godly life, but unfortunately for the Tenth Covenant, even you, sir, will have to sit down, because there is no one in the world who has not coveted in their heart. And this is the truth. And that's why, under Old Covenant worship, there was sacrifice. If you were going to morning service under the Old Covenant, there would be big channels in the worship space, and it would be full of rivers of blood. You would hear the sound of animals having their throats cut, and the gurgle of their blood as it was pulled out, and the channels and the smell of it. That was worship in the Old Testament, because the penalty for breaking the commandments of God was death. And the only way that people could stay alive was through the sacrificial system, the sacrifice of animals. And that was the Old Testament mission. And John was the last prophet of that way of relating to God, at a distance, only acceptable through the sacrifice of animals. And only once a year could the high priest enter the Holy of Holies in the temple where the presence of God was. And John was like the last tour guide of the kingdom of Israel. As he preached and as he prophesied, he opened up this vista for us through the lens of the prophet Isaiah. And he says that now we are on the brink of something different. The one is coming whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and untie, he says, who will open everything up and change everything forever. The coming of Jesus, the new covenant. Our worship is different, but it still involves blood, does it not? And now you know why. Because there can be no approach to God without sacrifice. And Jesus stands as the sacrificial lamb for us for all time. There is no need for any other sacrifice ever. And through his blood, we can approach. And our status before God becomes something completely, completely different. Jesus says in the Gospels this. He says this. He says, there has been no greater prophet than John. But I tell you, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Do you feel like you're one of the least in the kingdom of God? Do you not feel very good sometimes in your Christian faith or walk? Don't quite get things right. Not sure you believe the right things. Jesus says, even if you are the least in the kingdom of God, you are greater than John the Baptist. Now what does he mean? He's not saying that you're greater in deed or skill or faithfulness. Not at all. But you are greater in status. Because as we will read, as we go through this journey, next week we will think about Mary, who is the bridge between the two covenants, the old covenant and the new covenant. She spans the two. And through then, the birth of Jesus Christ, which we will celebrate on Christmas Day, we have the reading which comes just before our gospel reading today. And we will hear these words to those who received him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. You are no longer visitors to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of Israel. You are like the brigadier's children, able to go in and out from the place where you live with him whenever you want to. It is extraordinary. The thing is, we've often lived with it all our lives. If you first came to faith as a child, you've lived it with your whole life. The presence of the Holy Spirit within us, bearing witness that we are his children, as we cry, Abba, Father, the way that Paul puts it. And it doesn't matter how bad you are, actually, how far you get things wrong. If you've had children, and we've all been a child, we know that kids get it wrong, don't we? Do they stop being our children because they get things wrong? Do they? No, of course they don't. And neither do you stop becoming God's child. It's utterly, completely different. No longer are we tourists, friends, in the castle of Israel or the castle of the kingdom. We are the children of the constable of heaven, able to go in and out as we please, because we are always welcome in his presence. And John the Baptist came to proclaim this extraordinary truth. I wonder how you will access that knowledge again, maybe for the first time, or maybe it needs to be renewed in you. I wonder how you will do that. Perhaps to sit quietly after receiving communion, if you do so. Or perhaps to seek out some space and time this week, just to sit in the presence of the one who has adopted you into his family and given you an extraordinary inheritance that has been prophesied for thousands of years.